John and his girlfriend Mary decide to become bank robbers. I know, not a good idea. I know. Not a good choice. Mary does the actual robbing at gunpoint. Nevertheless, inside the bank while John waits outside as the getaway driver. And they're successful with the string of heists that make headlines, and they become folk heroes. Until one day, their luck runs out, and they get caught. At the trial, the judge gives Mary 10 years in prison, while John gets 2. However, once they get to their respective prisons, they discover that due to a clerical error, John will actually be serving 10 years and Mary only 2. Mary pleads for John to make it right, but despite of her insistence, John convinces Mary to keep quiet all about it. So after 2 years, Mary gets out. She continues to visit John faithfully every month. They even exchange letters and phone calls regularly for the remainder of his 10 years. Finally, after he does his time, John gets out and is joyfully reunited with Mary. They get married, move to a different state, and start all over, leaving their crime behind. Isn't that good for them? They raise a family with children and grandchildren. They are living such a happy, loving life together. And on the 50th anniversary, wedding anniversary, a party is thrown on their behalf. The entire family is there. Friends are gathered as well to join the celebration. And what a celebration it was. Many laughs and stories were told, recounting their life together. The conversation turns to the secrets of a happy marriage. One of the guests asked Mary why she decided to stick with John while he was in prison, despite all the hardships. Mary answers, "Well, you know you found the one when you finish each other's sentences." Go ahead, Randy, show the video.
Do you remember your first trip to the planetarium? Probably with your third grade class. More excited to leave school than actually learn anything about science. You know who you were. You find your seat, impatiently waiting for the show to start, ignoring the withering look of your teacher. And then... wow. Incredible. How can we be so small, but so special? That is, I believe, how the wise men must have felt. These magi got quite the star show themselves. Except, it was just one star. One bright, magnificent, piercing, brilliant ball of fire. And boy, did they bet a lot on that star. But just like the one they were traveling to see, this star stood out as something special. This one beckoned, "Follow me." And what a payoff. When they arrived in Bethlehem, they asked, "Where is the one born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." And it got me thinking, is worship a little different the harder the journey to get there? Struggling along the road with others? The type of trip that tests your faith and breaks your back? What's that worship like? I can't speak for the wise men. Maybe they shouted hallelujah, or they knelt in quiet reverence. We've all walked our own difficult journeys. And when we got to the other side, we all felt it. The joy we had to fight for tasted just a bit sweeter. And for that bright morning star, the one that caught you in awe when you saw it, well, what else can you do but rejoice when you realize that the journey was always leading you to Jesus?
Are you on there praying for me? It's been a tough week. I got Randy over here that's like, I can't believe you said that joke. And then my wife and I are talking this week, and I said, "Honey, you need to embrace your mistakes." And now she ran over and hugged me. I don't understand that. I don't get it. It's a joke, people. It's a joke. Embrace your mistakes. She ran over and hugged me. I know, Shar, just... that you came for.
Right?
Yeah, whatever. What a powerful sentence, though, at the end of that.
Amen.
as we stop to ponder the Christmas concerning how the path of your life has been unfolding. No doubt there have been some ups and downs on your journey. Amen. That brought you to where you are today.
Thank you, Jesus.
But what if that last statement we just heard in that video is really true about your life? The journey was always leading you to Jesus.
I believe.
There's a wonder of joy waiting to be experienced this Christmas when you realize the road you have been traveling intersects with the Savior who has been born for you. And the truth is, the more difficult the journey, the greater the joy will be when we realize, when we come to that realization that He really is the Lord and Savior of all.
Hallelujah.
And overall. Church, He is worthy to be pursued. Amen?
Amen.
He's worthy of all we have to offer Him before Him once we come into His presence.
Yes.
This is what the wise men ultimately found when they followed the star that led them to the promised Messiah. It was a difficult and taxing journey, make no mistake about it. It cost them time and resources to fulfill their journey. Ultimately, it was worth it all. And it allowed them to come face to face with this newborn king. After miles upon miles of searching and the persistence, the star in that night sky guided them to the Savior who had been born in a stall. They likely were overcome with emotion, reverence, awe, and I can only imagine an abundance of joy as well. Their story is found in Matthew's Gospel. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented them with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. As the wise men departed from the one that they had invested all this time and so much time to seek, they likely shared their story with people they came across in contact with on their journey home. They were overjoyed. They most likely, as they met people, saw people, told them about what they had just witnessed. A star that bright would not have been a hidden phenomena in the region.
Right.
Others would have noticed. Rather, it likely would have been a connection point of remembrance. As the wise men shared their story of where they were, where they had been, how they had traveled, and what ultimately led them to this one named Jesus. He likely shared the good news of their encounter with the Christ child to all who would take the time to listen. They set out with a purpose and found it in this baby who had been foretold by the prophets of old. While Jesus came from heaven to earth on purpose, he did so with you in his mind's eye and joy in his heart. Yes, church, you were created for a purpose, on purpose. Part of that purpose is to experience the wonderful joy that his life-changing relationship with Jesus affords to all who will put their faith, hope, and trust in him. Not just for salvation, although that's good, but for everything he's called us to be. We need to trust him in everything. And at just the right time, your journey through life, it's as if the stars finally aligned, if you will, in just the right manner and point you to this one whose birth we celebrate during this season. Jesus. Perhaps this is the first time you've ever really stopped on your journey and pause long enough to look up and see that God, look up and see that God has been wanting and waiting to connect with you and help you connect the dots in your mysteries of life that lead you toward Jesus. Maybe today is the first time in a long time you had found yourself remembering what you once had dear, what you held dear as it pertains to this meaning of Christmas. It's not about the gifts and the presents and the trees and all that's nice and wonderful, but it's more than that. So much more. Perhaps you once walked your path in life in ways that you felt close to Jesus and you were, as you were following him. However, something happened along the road and you have taken a detour that now finds you further away from where you thought you were traveling with Jesus. I don't know. Whatever and wherever you are on your journey through life, however difficult it may have been up till this very moment, Jesus wants to give you the wonder of his joy this Christmas. And he invites us, all of us, to follow him. Just as the wise men were led on their journey by a bright and shining star in the sky that moved them to Jesus, God uses different moments in life to help guide people to a place where they are met to meet the Savior of the world, met to encounter him in a new and real and authentic way. Regardless of where you have been on your journey or how you have arrived to where you are today, God has a history of using different situations, people, and even circumstances at just the right time to help us see how our stars have aligned in a way that leads us toward Jesus. Isn't it amazing that God has a way of helping to give the right direction in our path when we need it the most? Be that through a star in the sky, or like he did for the wise men on Christmas, the story we just read, or perhaps through an individual, someone that you know, that helps to shine a light on the path towards the God encounter for you. And while there may not be a literal shining star in the Christmas sky giving direction right now for you, oftentimes God uses people to help shine a spotlight on paths of our life and point us to the place that we need to be, the encounter with Jesus, our Savior. That is what we see the Apostle Paul doing in this season of his life. It's recorded in Acts 13. And while what he said to those people he crossed paths with was intended for their ears and their spotlight on their path, you know, some 2,000 years ago, the fact that we're looking at it today, looking at his story, it may also mean the same truth was meant for you and I to, on our journey at this very moment. I think it does. In other words, if God could use someone like Paul 2,000 years ago to help people see where they have been and where they are heading that leads to Jesus, he may be doing the same thing through the example of our scriptures, but for your life today. The Apostle Paul's life was intended to be less of a star in the Christmas night and more like a spotlight on the path that pointed people toward Jesus. In a very real, real sense, your life and my life also are intended to be like spotlights that point people to Jesus. God wants us to position ourselves along the roads of life that we walk and live among, and how people point to Jesus with what we say and what we do, how we act. He wants us to be spotlights in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says this: "We are ambassadors of the Anointed One, who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf, turn back to God and be reconciled to him." As I mentioned earlier, it is likely the wise men who met Jesus did their best to tell others about him on the way home, that they encountered. However, there's no doubt this is what we see happening in Paul's life as God uses him to point other people to Jesus in the pages of the New Testament. Paul shines a spotlight of his life encountering with Jesus on the path of other people that he's been walking with. He does this to help them really see where they have been and how it connects to where they are headed, which was intended for them to be towards Jesus, to have an encounter with the Savior. The point of Paul's life, according to Acts 13, he was not too far from the beginning of his first missionary journey with his friend and colleague Barnabas. They were sent out by the church at Antioch in Syria and sailed to the island of Cyprus to share the gospel with people on that island where Barnabas originally called home. And while they were there, they encountered some opposition. Imagine that. By the way, oftentimes when you and I are living our best life for Christ, we'll find opposition. So Paul sort of tells us to expect it. Truth is, church, opposition is normal when you follow God. Amen. I mean, just consider our woke culture we live in today. It's trying so hard to have us abandon what we know is truth. But regardless, that can make the joy of worship sweeter and more consequential for true followers of Jesus. So as they traveled onward together, it says in Acts 13, 14, 15, what Paul and Barnabas did next after they made to the destination. It says this: as they journeyed on to the city of Antioch in the region of Pisidia, on the Sabbath they went into the synagogue and took their seats. After the reading from the scrolls of the books of Moses and the prophets, the leader of the meeting sent Paul and Barnabas a message saying, "Brothers, do you have a word of encouragement to share with us? If so, please feel free to give it." Now, in that culture, it's customary for the leader to, you know, the leader of the synagogue of worship to call someone, to call the visitors to give a word to the group. I mean, think about that for a moment. Could you imagine someone just walking in the back of the door and all of a sudden I got something I want to say, and we just sort of like, okay, go ahead and say it. That would probably scare a little bit of a few of us, wouldn't it? That, in their culture, it was customary. That's what they did. That's all they did. That's what they did. In Paul's case, of visiting synagogue in the Antioch and Pisidia on that day, when they offered him the floor to extend a word to those present, he took the opportunity to say a word, to say some things. So I want you to notice how Paul begins to point the spotlight of the historical road these people were on, that they were walking along with their Jewish ancestors toward Jesus. Look what he says in verses 16 through 25. Paul stood and motioned that he had something to say. He said, "Listen, all of you Jews and non-Jews who worship God. The God of Israel divinely chose our ancestors to be his people. While they were enslaved in Egypt, he made them great, both in numbers and in strength, until he unveiled his mighty power and led them out of bondage. For nearly 40 years, he nourished them in the wilderness. He was the one who destroyed the seven nations inhabiting the land of Canaan, and afterward gave the land of his people as their inheritance. They took about 450 years. Then God raised up deliverers for the people until the time of the prophet Samuel. The people craved for a king, so God gave them one from the tribe of Benjamin, Saul, the son of Kish, who ruled for 40 years. After removing him, God raised up David to be king, for God said of him, 'I found in David, son of Jesse, a man who always pursues my heart and will accomplish all that I have destined him to do.' From David's lineage, God brought about Israel a savior, just as he promised. So before Jesus appeared, John preached a message of a baptism of repentance to prepare all of Israel. As John was about to finish his mission, he said repeatedly, 'If you think that I am the one to come, you're mistaken. He will come after me, and I don't even deserve to stoop down and untie his sandals.'" This is the first message that we have recorded by the Apostle Paul. He didn't just give an Old Testament and New Testament history lesson here, by the way. No. Paul was shining the spotlight on the historical road that led them to their present moment that crossed paths with the gospel of Jesus. As N.T. Wright says, he says, "Paul is setting up a system of signposts from David 1,000 years before to John a mere 15 or 20 years earlier. And all the signposts point to one person, Jesus, the Messiah, the Rescuer." Now, in the same Messiah, the same rescuer, the wise men had been guided to see. That's the same one. The ones that they met early in his life. Whether through a miraculous star in the sky or through an intentional follower of Jesus shining the spotlight of the gospel on the road of people that came into contact with him. There is the possibility of a joy-filled miracle of salvation when a person encounters the Savior of the world. When they encounter the gospel of Jesus. Everything Paul was trying to say to his audience was shine the spotlight on a recognizable signpost that pointed them to the next part of their faith journey that would hopefully eventually lead them to Jesus. God chooses to plant some people throughout history ultimately to point others to Jesus that they might encounter him. I want you to notice that point of truth in Acts 13:17. It says this: the God of Israel divinely chose our ancestors to be his people. While they were enslaved in Egypt, he made them great, both in numbers and in strength, until he unveiled his mighty power and led them out of bondage. What Paul was saying about God choosing people is this: God chose the Jewish fathers to be spotlight, shining the way that eventually led to Jesus. God chose judges to be a spotlight, shining the way that eventually led to Jesus. God chose kings to be spotlights, shining on the way that eventually led to Jesus. And each of these spotlights shining on the road throughout history are not just events, they are people. People that shine spotlights. God wants people to be spotlights, shine the way that point others to Jesus. That includes you. That includes me. We need to be spotlights.
That's right.
We're not called just to be ambassadors, but spotlights that point others to Jesus. Paul is not a star in the sky, but rather an acting like a spotlight as he shines the light of this historical road for his audience to see that their faith journey through history and how it led them to the very point they were at right now, and that was to lead them to Jesus. Paul reminds them that the God kept putting people in his path to point them to salvation. You did not get here by just yourself. You didn't walk in the door, most of you. You were invited by somebody else as they began to be a spotlight to point you to where they thought you wanted to be with Jesus. So Paul reminds them that it's just those that put your faith in your path that points you to salvation. God gave his people judges to lead them until the time of Samuel when the people clamored for a king. And then God gave them their wish and gave them a king named Saul. Unfortunately, that chapter in their life wasn't the greatest. Saul he got confused and thought he was meant to be a destination rather than a spotlight that pointed people forward towards the path toward Jesus. Paul became a glory hog and kept shining spotlight on himself instead of on Jesus. So God allowed Saul's spotlight to burn out in a deadly war, and he brought the next King David. In Acts 12:13-22, Paul reminds us how David is described. Look at this. After moving him, God raised up David to be king, for God said of him, I have found in David, son of Jesse, a man who always pursues my heart and will accomplish all that I have destined him to do. Paul is shining a spotlight back to this important ancestor of his Jewish audience named David. And David is standing on the road of faith, pointing people ultimately toward Jesus. If you are familiar with the story of David, some may have a difficult time getting over the way God describes David as a man who always pursues my heart. Will accomplish all I've destined him to do. Or another translation says, a man after mine own heart. David wasn't perfect, but he stretched the imagination. I mean, remember Bathsheba? Need I say more? So he wasn't perfect, but David was available, and he desired to be used by God to point other people to him, as history shows. Just turn your Bible to the book of Psalms and what he wrote, and start there, and you can see the spotlight. You too can be a part of history as you rise and you shine your own spotlight in life in such a way that you point others to Jesus. It happened to David in the Old Testament, and is what Paul articulates to us in Acts 13. So as Paul leads his audience through the faith journey of their history, he shines a spotlight in such a way that points people to Jesus. Acts 13:23 says this, from David's lineage, God brought Israel a Savior just as he promised. Paul then reminds them that this is the same Savior that John the Baptist was preparing the way for before Jesus began his public ministry. And once again, God is faithful to point the wise men to Jesus through a star in the sky, as well as through a person or a prophet who would point people to Jesus. Later, Paul shows his audience where the spotlight ultimately points. Deeper in the chapter 13, he writes this in 13:36-39, says this. So listen, friends. Through this Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is offered to you. Everyone who believes in him is set free from sin and guilt, something the law of Moses had no power to do. So Paul's strategy of pointing the spotlight on this historical road of his Jewish audience in such a way that it shines on the Jesus is a challenge for us today in this Christmas. It encourages us to understand our audience well enough to know how to tell the story to them that points them to Jesus in such a way that it sounds compelling, interesting, and authenticated by our joy-filled lives. It almost seems like today, it's like just such a, you know, smaller crowd, like just no one's into it. I'm telling you, it's joy-filled life is joy-filled life whether you have 100 or 50 or one. You know, we just, you know, I just want to keep going. Something wants me to, I mean, everything would have me just like, let's just quit, forget it, go home. I'll be honest with you. Because we need to learn to share the love of Jesus no matter where we're at.
That's right.
See, some of us need to tell our face that we're happy. And that the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, we're unhappy. Well, tell your face that then. You know? So Paul shined the spotlight down on the Jewish historical road and in a way that leads to Jesus was compelling and connecting for the first century audience. For Paul's audience, and here's I'm going to try to finish up with this. This is the important part of the message. For Paul's audience, history was a huge to connect the dots because first century Jewish people wanted to know, is it true? They wanted to know, is it true? Paul, you tell us about this in history. It was meaningful to them. It meant something to them. They said, they wanted to know, is it true? They were saying, help me see that this faith journey leads to what is this true historically, and is fulfilled in prophets, that the prophetic truth of the coming Messiah. Is it true? Would you like to know that? Well, many among our 21st century audiences, like you and I, when we're trying to point to the Savior, to Jesus, they want to know another question. At least the answer to that question. See, Paul's people want to know, is it true? People we talk to today is, does it work? Does Jesus work in your life? Does following Jesus make any difference for you? Does being a Christian make the work in life better, more fulfilling, more joyful? Does it work? Church, does it work for you? I'm not just talking about coming to church on Sunday morning. I'm talking about, does life work better for you with Jesus in it?
Amen.
Does it work? That's why some people need customer reviews or customer comments before making decisions about various things in life that they buy. That's going to cost them time and money. We want to know, is the product we're thinking about buying, or the restaurant we're thinking about eating at, or the vacation spot we want to take our family to, does it work? Therefore, so many of our audiences whom God will allow us to share our faith experience with may have a better result, leading to joy, if we share how our relationship with the Father, our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with this one we call Christ, works for us. Rather than starting with the historical facts of how it works, you know, Jesus died, buried, died on the cross for you and I. I mean, all that is true, by the way. All that's necessary, because without him doing that, we would not have any reason to be here. So all that historical, but how does Jesus work for you? See, since the spotlight of our experiences of joy in Jesus and it gives them this customer review, it's got to be saturated with authentic joy and topped off with genuine love. Sharing a personal spotlight on the perspective of, here's what Jesus means to me and why I believe in him, may be much more compelling than anything else we could share with someone traveling along life's road who needs a reason to look up, and see that their journey is culminating an encounter with Jesus. Joy could come. So let me ask you to close with this a little bit. Will you be the person who willingly and intentionally shines your spotlight of life in such a way that it points people to Jesus? In what you say and all you do, will it point people to Jesus? Matthew 5:14-16 says this: your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. And how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's a place where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them. And then they will give you their praise to your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. That should bring joy to our hearts. He did this. This is why he did it. So that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. So you'd broadcast them. This is what God means to me, and this is why. The wonder of Christmas and the joy found in Jesus is waiting to be illuminated through your life and your story. Be faithful. Be faithful to point people to Jesus and trust him to connect their hearts with his this Christmas season and beyond. Father, today was just seems so hard to press through. Sorry, but just like the people just didn't want to just want to be here. But times of worship, God, that's just not how you want. Speak in my heart right now, Father, but I know you're joy unspeakable, full of glory. God, help us to be persistent and call out to you. God, to let our light be such a spotlight that others will encounter you through us. That, Lord, will show them the joy of the Lord is my strength. God, they'll know that we know that we know that we know that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Lord, let this wonder of Christmas, your joy, fill us to overflowing. As other people see us, they'll know and they'll understand that you alone, God, are the one who is able to set us free. Let the joy of the Lord be in the lives of your children today, God, and every day. I don't know what it is about today. I don't know what it was that God just, it's like no one to be here. But God, I just know that your Holy Spirit, I invite it right now, God, to speak to our hearts and just move in our minds in such a way. God, move in such a way, God, your joy just washes over our souls today. By the power of your love. And Lord, I will give you all the glory, all the praise.